A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire, Gregory X, and finally the resolution of the imperial schism. Now, Pope Clement IV made no attempt to resolve the double election of emperors. When he died shortly after Conradin's execution, Europe had neither a pope nor an emperor for a period of nearly 3 years. Richard of Cornwall returned to Germany in 1268 and stayed a year, again trying to stir up support for his imperial bid. He married again to a German princess in hope of appeasing them, but little desire for a true emperor. The princes of Germany did as they pleased, and they sought no order. Robber barons, knights plagued Germany, and corrupt rule without a true king to stop them. In Italy, Charles ruled without justice. In France, the great Louis IX decided to leave for another crusade, but soon after his stay in Carthage, his army caught the plague, and Louis was not immune. The great king of Europe died in 1270. And was brought back to France, where he was honored by the people who didn't wait for the church to declare him a saint. He was the most beloved of all French kings and one of the few truly good kings of history. His death left Europe without a real leader. No undisputed emperor sat upon the throne, no pope ruled the land with his spiritual scepter, and now there wasn't even a strong king. Pressure was mounting for the election of a new pope, but the French and the Italian supporters fought each other. The papacy had been ruled by French candidates for many years, and the Romans had not even permitted the last two popes to set foot in the Holy City. The cardinals had been imprisoned, threatened, and locked up till they finally elected Gregory X in September 1271. Gregory X almost immediately called to convene another general council. In honesty, it was time for a council. The empire was in disarray, and a council was the best means to bring the kings and bishops of Europe together. Of course, many councils only served to further divide Europe, exactly what Gregory had in mind for the 14th Ecumenical Council, or the Second Council of Lyon. Would have to wait for the council was 3 years in the making, as messengers went even to Constantinople inviting the Greek Emperor Michael VIII Palaiologus to come and send representatives in hopes of ending the strife between the East and the West. In 1272, Richard of Cornwall died, leaving only the rival claimant of Alfonso the Wise. Gregory became the first pope to attempt to solve the great schism of the emperors, but he did so by declaring a new election. He told the electors that if they did not elect an emperor, he would. Alfonso's appeal for the crown was then referred to the electors anew. As had been the case earlier, the princes of Germany secretly desired neither a king nor an emperor. The pope's insistence forced them to an election, but it was an election which Gregory kept a watchful eye. Charles of Anjou put forth his nephew, Philip III, the new king of France. Such a candidate didn't set well with the German electors, neither did Alfonso's bid for the crown. King Ottokar II of Bohemia was also a candidate, but he was too powerful, and the princes of Germany feared him greatly. Instead, they settled upon the meek and peaceful Count Rudolf of Habsburg. He was the godson of Frederick II, thus satisfying Hohenstaufen's sympathizers. But he was clearly a vassal of the Pope, loyal and obedient to his authority, and most importantly, he provided a German alternative to Ottokar. He was elected, and on October the 24th, 1273, Rudolf was crowned King of the Romans at Aachen, while preparations for his coronation as Emperor of the Romans were delayed on account of the coming council. Gregory X, nevertheless, did recognize him in exchange for the reunification of all claims to Sicily, Rome, and the Papal Estates, as well as a pledge to lead a new crusade which Gregory was planning. In the meantime, the crowning achievement of Gregory's short reign was the convening of the Second Council of Lyon, or 14th Ecumenical Council. The council convened in the spring of 1274. Chief on the agenda was a new crusade, planned by Gregory X, the reunion of the Eastern and Western empires, new measures on how to elect the pope. The latter had clearly become a problem with previous elections, including Gregory's own election. Abuses and corruption, as well as threats and bribery, were well known to occur. The absence of a pope for nearly 3 years also decreased the faith that the general public held in the elections. The 14th Ecumenical Council decreed that a new election must be held not more than 10 days from the death of the previous pope, and that no contact with the outside world must be made until the election is over. Several other decrees were also made in hope of correcting the abuses. Perhaps the most interesting of the items on the agenda was the reunification of the Eastern and Western empires. Ever since the Roman Empire had divided, there had been talk of reuniting, but the reunion never occurred. When the Fourth Crusade was diverted to Constantinople, it seemed as if the schism would only widen. But the Byzantine Empire was now on the verge of collapse. After the destruction caused by the West, the invasion of Muslims and Mongols, the Byzantine Empire was now clearly willing to negotiate, especially since it was well known that Charles of Anjou, the new king of Naples, was planning a crusade against the Greeks in an attempt to reclaim Constantinople for the Latins. The Greek representative's appearance at the council was a clear message that Charles vigorously attacked. He insisted that the Greeks could not be trusted and should not be listened to. He pleaded for the right to invade Byzantium, but Gregory X silenced Charles, even forced him to renounce his title of Senator of Rome, which he had held in defiance of the Pope. Gregory appeared to score a coup when the Greeks pledged their willingness to accept papal authority and even religious mode of worship. The grand plan, however, fell through when the Greek clergy rejected the already ratified plan. Gregory's death 2 years later ensured that the long-dreamt reunion of the Roman Empire would not occur. Another intriguing event that was the appearance of the Mongol representative. Ever since the Mongols had appeared to St. Louis in the east, it was clear that the Mongols wanted to form a coalition against the Muslims. Many of the Mongol representatives even received baptism. Such an event further spawned and enhanced Gregory's plan for a new crusade to reclaim Jerusalem once and for all. But this plan, too, died with him 2 years later. There would be, to be sure, a few other feeble crusades, but the days of the Grand Crusade led by Christian kings of Europe against the Muslims were dying. Already the general public at large believed crusades to be false, and many clergymen even cried out that the sin of the West were the reasons for the fall of Jerusalem. Indeed, the Eastern Latin kingdom was collapsing. Antioch had fallen in 1268. The warrior Barbarus was now threatening Acre. The people were more concerned with the situation in Europe than in the East. One of the final items on the agenda included a reaffirmation of a previous edict forbidding new religious orders. This edict had been slowly forgotten, but ironically, the Dominicans and Franciscans were exempt from it. The orders of the newly formed Inquisition were given clear exemptions from many laws and regulations placed upon all the other orders. The council seemed, in many respects, a dramatic success, but with Gregory's death, the dream of the council faded. The Byzantine Empire remained apart from the West and in enmity with it. Crusade was never truly realized, and the corruption of the church was only deepening. Gregory would die of a fever in January 1276, having reinstalled the papal office, but having done nothing else of lasting influence. Whether his dreams were truly for good or evil, only God can tell, for his reign was too short to see the fruits of the plan. Next time we'll be looking at our new Holy Roman Emperor, Rudolf, and then we're also going to have four popes in 1 year. Now the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France 987 to 1328 by Butler and Adams, French History Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.